This is CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man, Batman. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly.
Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, Batman. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-G-G-Man, Batman.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agency. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-G-G-Man, Batman.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man, the ad man. And we're all up in it. Welcome. It's been another week of dope advertising. And we are all up in Media Tech Africa. That's where I'm at today. This is, guys, you know, I feel like I must announce a couple of things to you guys, you know, because we're at Media Tech Africa, and this is, you know, the maiden outside broadcast of G-Man the Ad-Man. So give yourself a round of applause, because also today we don't have the sound effects, you know what I mean? So, but it's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man, and it's going to be a dope show. I got some dope guests with me today. But, man, it's been really, really cool. This Media Tech stuff is actually quite dope. I've walked around and I've seen a whole bunch of people. You'd be surprised, right? Like, some of the people some of the companies that you've actually worked with before are exhibiting out here today. So if you have not, if you've made no plans of coming out here, it's really, really impressive. There's some dope products and, like, some dope things that you've seen on set. You know those things that you've seen on set and ask people, what does that thing do? Yeah, this is where people come out and buy that shit. When people come out here and buy a big camera and buy big lights and shit and buy a big sound equipment, there's a whole stage set up just for sound equipment, so it's looking really, really dope. That's Media Tech Africa out at the North Gate Dome. That's where we're hanging out today. So yeah, it's your boy G-Man the Ad-Man. I did their plug, and let's carry on with the show. It's been a dope week. I've got some dope guests with me today. You will meet all of them later. Like I said, I mean, it's an outside broadcast. It's happening at North Gate Dome. So there was confusion, you know. So you know how last week, like I said, I had the people from the One Show Boot Camp last week, and you know, people just automatically assume that all broadcast comes from the SABC. So, like, I think some people just drove to the SABC and they thought Jimmy and the Ad-Man is going to be at the SABC, but not. You know, today we're out here at the North Gate Dome, and that's where we're hanging out. But give us a shout out on hit me up on Twitter, because just hit me up on Twitter. You know, I don't want to complicate my life. Like I said, it's my maiden voyage. I don't want to fuck shit up on my first OB. That way they'll never put me out here again, and I'll just be stuck in the studio going forward. So hit me up on Twitter. That's at Blacksem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or on Cliff Central. It's at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. So some dope shit has happened in the past week or so in the world of advertising. Let's start with Mlu. Hey, Mlu, it's gone, guys. He sent us photos of himself having landed in Miami. This is where I'd put the tweet, 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 tweet. But Mlu is in Miami, guys, and I hope you're listening out there, boy. And I hope you're doing the right thing out there. He threatened us and said my Insta stories are about to be lit. So I don't doubt that for one second. Go out there and kill it, my man. I know you're gonna do big things. And we'll be looking out for all the work that you're gonna be doing out at David in Miami. I think a whole bunch of people are holding thumbs, I think, but at the same time really excited for you. So dope. That's what happened. That's what's happened in the past week. Another thing that happened is that last week, like I said, I was hanging out with the guys from the One Show Boot Camp. So we had Jimmy Smith out here, and then Spuso's Tone of the Odd Number was there with me, and Kolisa Tshana, obviously. So Spuso and myself were mentors at this program. And if you missed last week's podcast, go to the website, go to cliffcentral.com, download the podcast and check out everything that we spoke about the boot camp and how important that shit is. And it was fantastic. It was a whole week of mentoring these kids. They got a brief from Vodacom. So huge shout out to them for sponsoring the whole thing. What you don't know is that the whole thing kind of had had a competitive thing to it, right? So what happened is I was myself as Bustos Tore and Jimmy Smith actually, right? So all three of us had teams that we were mentoring, and then they got the brief and to cut a long story short, one of my teams won. As I do. I'm in the habit of winning, guys, you know. So one of my teams won the whole thing. Check out my Insta stories if you want to see what happened. I essentially kicked Spusito Toilet and Jimmy Smith's asses. But I mean, don't take my word for it. Go check out the video I posted on Instagram. But huge congratulations to everyone that made the whole week possible. It was a fantastic week. And I think, you know, watching the presentations and watching the kids that came out of that whole thing, I was just like, you know, I really cannot wait to see some of those kids in your guys' studios, to see some of those kids in your presentations and in your boardrooms, because, you know, that's how we're going to avoid some of the bullshit that's going on out there, is if we get the stories that these kids are telling, and we get the kids to come and school us. You know, it's a very strange thing that we've not actually realized how much of schooling these kids that are still in school need to do to us, because we're kind of lagging behind. So I'm really, really excited. What I think you guys want to do is you want to call up those schools. Call up Umuzi Photo Club. Sorry. You want to call up Red and Yellow. You want to call up all those schools and find out where those kids are. Find out how you can get those kids to come do internships at your space. They have photographers. They have writers. They have art directors. They have designers. And you guys want to be a part of that. I know we're going to be taking a few of these kids as soon as they're done. Some of them are already done. So we're going to be putting some of those in our studio. When I say we, I mean us at Bakoni. Advertising, you know you heard of us by now. But anyway, let's move on before I do a whole lot more self-plugging. So a whole bunch of things have happened once again. I'm gonna leave the parts that have a lot of sauce, as the kids say. I'm gonna leave that part for slightly later. But I want to talk about is it Sanlam? Sanlam did this thing. I saw one of the billboards says it's called "Make Saving Stylish with Latuma Ngokolo." Right? That's his name. That's how I pronounce his name, right? Latuma Ngokolo. Sanlam have obviously had a collaboration with dude, and it says, yeah, I was reading this on the Mug Lives website. Shout out to everybody at muglives.com. And it says, Sanlam has joined forces with world-renowned designer Latuma Ngokolo this National Savings Month to create a signature piece that combines fashion with function and shifts the brand's focus from education to action. The Mnanam. So this thing looks like it's like a bracelet, and it's also got Latuma does that Makosa stuff. You know that's the design, the beautiful stuff that Shashana was actually wearing at the one show as well. So they've partnered with him, and they've done this thing called Mnanam. Mnanam, that's right. So it says here, conceptualized with the King James Group, Mnanam is a limited edition accessory worn around the wrist, which has an embedded QR code that links to a savings wallet on the wearer's mobile phone. Yeah. Marking Ngokolo's first foray into the world of functional fashion, it integrates his traditionally inspired aesthetic with smart technological capabilities. Essentially what that means, guys, is that there's a bracelet, right, a very trendy bracelet, obviously, that you can wear, that's designed by Latuma, and it's linked to your phone somehow, it's linked to your savings pocket, and somehow you can be able to track your savings and all that. Look, it sounds technically quite complicated, but it actually could be quite easy. Maybe I'm just one of those people, you know, like if you've ever met me, you know, technology is not necessarily my friend, but I do think that it's a dope thing, because I feel like, you know, when like you said, with fashion meets function, you know, it feels like it's one of those things that, like, the functional stuff doesn't have to look ugly, you know, and I think that it's really, really cool that they've partnered up with some South African guys in order to do that. That actually reminds me of a story about how Louis Vuitton have taken some of the traditional Basutu, and I say Basutu in inverted commas because I also read a whole other thing, but that's a whole other show completely, about how the Basutu designs have been used by Louis Vuitton, and there's this whole hoo-ha that you guys are doing out there, are causing out there, because you're like, no, the IP, they're using our IP, why can't they? And you guys keep saying our IP. Who has registered the Masudi designs, guys? Who are they stealing from? When you guys are out here getting, when you guys are wearing those t-shirts that have got a Japanese print on them, is somebody saying that you guys, when you're printing them there in the Oriental Plaza, is somebody saying that you guys are appropriating? You guys, you know, sometimes I just think causing shit is just fun, you know, and I feel like people just kind of want to just claim things and cause shit. But you know what? Here's what I'm doing. I've also said a lot of shit right now. I want to introduce you guys to some of the guests, some of my guests who've already arrived. And then what I want to do is that there's more coming, but I want to get some of their opinions on the stuff that we're talking about. And then we'll get to talking about the real reason that they're here. So the two people who are in the studio with me right now, some of you might have encountered, because some of you might have shot some dope ads with them. Some of you might have encountered them in and around, well, around the industry, and because they've done some amazing things, been in the game for quite a bit, and yeah, so they call themselves Spitfire Films, right? But they do a whole bunch of things. So in over and above doing just commercials, I know that they shoot all kinds of like short films, all kinds of like, you know, branded things and whatever. But I'm gonna get them to tell you this stuff. So in the studio with me right now, I've got Mr. AK.
How do?
Yeah, what's going on, AK?
Hey, not much, man. Long time no see.
Yeah, I know, man. I think it's cool. I'm glad you found this place and you turned around from Auckland Park. You didn't go to SABC, you actually came to the Dome. How's it been? What have you been up to? Tell us what you've been up to, man.
Oh, man, I've been doing the usual story, going in, you know, international jobs.
Yeah.
So I've been traveling around quite a lot this year.
Yeah.
Usual story, but what I'm really enjoying and what I'm going to enjoy talking about in Liesl is the fact that we're doing a lot of content, a lot of long form.
Dope.
Yeah.
And what do you, I mean, you kind of had to run through this place. And what do you make of this media tech stuff? And this is my first time at something like this. Is this what film people do? You guys come to this stuff all the time?
Actually, this is the first time.
That's even the Adman is a place for fest. You know, I will introduce the guys at Spitfire to the best stuff in the industry. So what do you make of this, of the stuff around you?
Well, having run through the doorway and just looked at what's on my left and right, I'm kind of impressed.
Yeah.
My first thing is going to be the camera department.
That's what's up. That is what's up. Like I said earlier, guys, get down here to MediaTek if you want to come check out some of the stuff that's going on out here. And I'm trying very hard not to plug them, but it's also hard not to plug the place that you're sitting at, because there's actually a lot of impressive stuff where I'm sitting. So sitting right next to AK, though, is Liesl, right? And you know, she also kind of, you know, she wrangles the troops and she makes sure that all this amazing stuff actually ends up being done. So Liesl, what's up? How you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, and you, G, man?
I'm very good. You know what? Actually, once again, guys, I have to give props to Chesa. Chesa has a way of taking people down that I don't. And he was able to get you guys on the show, because I've been trying to get you guys on the show for some time now. So how you been, Liesl? What have you been up to?
Been good, yeah. We've been traveling. We just got back from a holiday in Mozambique, which was really fun.
From a holiday break. Were you shooting there, or were you finally taking a break?
It was a holiday, finally.
Yeah. Because I know you guys recently were also shooting like in the Far East or some stuff. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. So at what point do you go, yeah, you know what, let me take a break now? You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Takes a lot for that.
Yeah.
Takes a lot. It's a long time. But also we had a lot of fun because we went to AdFest in the Far East, which is an incredible sort of advertising festival there. Yeah.
What's that about? It's
in Thailand. It's like the Lurie's for like Asia and Thailand.
Oh, okay.
Held in Thailand. Pretty dirty place.
It's dirty and it's crazy.
But what kind of dirty? I've heard all kinds of stories about Thailand. I feel like I'm the only person who has ever been to Thailand in South Africa.
Don't go.
We're taking you with. If we go back, we're taking you with.
It's much better here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, no, fantastic. So guys, they're back from dirty Thailand and serene Mozambique, and we're going to be chatting about advertising and all the stuff. So here's the thing I wanted to ask you guys about, right? So there's this whole thing about you know, fashion and function. That thing I just told you guys about, the sign up thing. How important is it that you think? Do you think is the kind of the crossing of creative platforms in order to create new stuff? And you talk about how much you've been making content and all that. How important is it for us to realize the kind of that's the next frontier? And is it the next frontier?
Yeah, definitely. I think that from simple things like a heater, a gas heaters, have you ever seen anything more ugly?
Yeah.
I mean, and humidifiers.
Right.
And we really
right.
need these in Joburg, but they're ugly and no one's making them look good, no one's marketing them, no one's making them. So, and I think a lot of creative people have got great ideas, and they should start becoming clients in a way. They should start making stuff that looks good and selling it themselves.
That is dope. I've always believed that. Loiso Madinga said that creative people are some of the smartest people. But it feels like we only channel that stuff towards radio ads and TV ads and things like newspapers, my favorite medium. You know, but it feels like we're not using enough of what we know to kind of create a better world. And things like design and DAPA are always about shit like that. Do you find that in your space, AK, like when you're making film and all that, that the influence of other creative fields kind of changes or influences the way you do stuff?
Absolutely. I mean, you just look at any brief that you get when it comes to fashion of any description, whether it's clothing, whether it's makeup, whether it's some new trend in Hollywood that you're following. Absolutely. It definitely affects every job we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes you store it. For the next one. So it's not right for this one, but it may be right for the next one. You know? So sometimes you use stuff that was in fashion and you bring it up maybe the next year or two even.
Yeah.
So you sort of collect everything. That's your job as a director, is to collect the world around you.
Absolutely.
Sift it through your own creative filter.
Yeah.
And then just put it through whatever job you're doing.
That's
apply
really
it wherever it's appropriate.
That's really cool. I guess it also applies to like things like animation styles, right? So like
absolutely,
people kind of go like there'll be an animation that's kind of in fashion right now. Mm. And then you kind of go 5 years down the line, you're like, oh shit, I remember that stuff. And then like I said, it's because you store it in your hard drive kind. and then kind of draw upon that.
Yeah.
I remember there was a time when I think every other briefing I said and someone spoke about, remember there was line animation, the French animation?
Yeah,
like,
that little dude.
Like, guys, why don't we go back to that stuff? And you're like, my man, please.
That's 30 years back.
Yeah, exactly. But it's good to have you guys in the studio once again. Hit us up, guys. I'm sitting with the guys from Spitfire. Hit us up at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM on Twitter and on Facebook. Wait, on Twitter still. At CliffCentral.com. Guys, this outside broadcast stuff is overwhelming, guys. I'm seeing people. There's like people walking past in costumes. Guys, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm trying to keep it together today. So I saw another thing, guys. Apparently, MNC Saatchi and Stones, you know Stones, the pool hall that you end up at the end of a long night.
long time ago.
Yeah, a very long time ago. Shout out to the guys at Stones. But they come together now and they've done this thing called a bot, right? A bottle operated pool table, right? So what it is you essentially get this like a sensor on the inside of the where you normally put your coin, and you put the bottle in there, and it senses kind of the light that's shining through and the brand that's in there to give you a free game of pool, right? I mean, that's impressive as fuck.
That's
great. I saw that and I was like, this is really really dope. And I love how the sense of innovation. When I first saw it, I was like, oh shit, here's another thing taking someone's job, and because I thought Stone is delivering beers through a portal drone, but this is actually pretty dope. And I dig that. So here's what she said when I told him about it. He said, look, but I was at Stones last week. I didn't see that thing. Mm. Right? And I'm like, look, I understand also that Lurie's is also around the corner. You know what I mean? Mm. And things happen because of Lurie's and what is your guys' approach as like a production house, right? When people come up to you with stuff and you kinda go, but this thing is not real, right? Mm. How hard is it for you guys to tear yourself away from the good ideas if they're not real? You know what I mean? You just say, okay, fine, let's do it, but maybe let's do it right and look to do it for Lurie's. Is that what you guys do?
We don't do scam.
Boom!
Hey.
It's that simple.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, PSAs need to actually make a difference. So
that's right, yeah.
I've learned this the hard way. Yeah. I mean, we spent a lot of money on a massive animation job. Hard costs, and I think it flighted once, and they got like 28 phone calls. So for me, it's like, it's not even, I think we get confused between ego and what's really making a difference. And one of the reasons that creative people aren't making products themselves is because sometimes they're creative and intelligent. They're not thinking hard enough. They're not confident enough.
Right.
Do silly things like that.
And also there's that thing about chasing the award.
Yes.
Or do the ad just to try and chase the award.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's a lot of creative integrity that gets shed along the way in chasing awards?
Not always, but you know, it can be.
Yeah.
It can be that you can see the initial drive is just to win that award.
Yeah.
And it's like, but dude, the message is not clear. It doesn't matter, you've got to do it this way.
Yeah.
And that's where you lose focus on the point of
that's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, well, like I said, the Lurie's are coming up, and And guys, and I'm also not saying that this is scam or, but I mean, it just leaked of the stuff. Chen was looking at me now because he was telling me that he didn't see this thing at Stones, and he was there. But your big question is, Chesa, what were you doing at Stones? but that's a whole other show. There's a show, I think, there's another podcast, I think, that talks about nightlife. And what to be careful of out in the streets. Anyway, so here's another thing that's happening. Here's another big thing. Now, be careful in how much I rope you guys in on this. It's kind of a big deal.
So, Spitfire Party.
Tell me about the Spitfire Party. Did you see them just throw that in there? I fucking love it. Yeah? Tell me about the Spitfire Party. What should
be sneaky
expect?
Like that.
Is it on a yacht? I mean, talk to me.
No, it's gonna be at I don't know if I'm allowed to. Leah's supposed to run the stuff.
You're shaking your head. No, don't say too much.
Don't say much.
It's on the Sunday, and yeah, I think you'll have to wait.
Are you allowed to say the theme? No.
No.
Nothing. Zero.
No,
okay.
Zero.
We've been told.
But it's going to be the biggest party we've thrown. It's going to be the best one, and we're an official Lurie's partner and sponsor of the Lurie's this year. So.
Boom! That's fantastic, guys. You want to know also that like I keep reminding you, Cliff Central is also an official media partner of the Lurie's, and like I said, you know, the movement I like to think is because Jim and the Headman is running at the forefront of that movement. So the movement goes on, guys. We are growing and growing in the partner space. But here's the thing I actually want to chat about, guys. So the Telkom thing happened, right? So last week, the Telkom account was awarded, and then the ACA released a statement saying that three agencies have been suspended from the body, from the ACA, right? And those three agencies are Island Davenport, Wonderman, and what's the third one? I don't remember now. DDB. Yes, right? So they sent out a message saying they suspended from the ACA. But I know, right? It's a crazy shit. And then yesterday I saw this article that Ivan Davenport had responded to their suspension. Right? I like dropping news for the first time here.
What?
Come again?
That's what we do here, Jimmy and the Red Guy. We're here, you know, as a youth rock, we're here, you know, so.
Luckily, John's in the trance guy. Does he know?
I don't know.
Just phone him. Do you know?
Anyway, so Island Davenport, I think he should know, because Island Davenport has released a statement, right, about this. So I'm reading straight from the marklives.com website once again, and it says, Island Davenport has taken note of a statement sent out by the industry regulator, the ACA, confirming its decision to suspend our ACA membership for a period of 12 months for an ID's participation in a pitch to secure the Telkom account. Now, the ACA came to a conclusion that our participation as part of a WPP consortium made of three agencies in the Telkom pitch contravenes its code of conduct, which forbids its members from participating in non-paid pitches. So, bottom line, they were not supposed to have pitched. They formed this consortium and right? And
so now, did other agencies.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were the ones...
Didn't Avatar also pitch?
So I don't know the details. I'm reading the stuff that I've got here, and we can chat about what happened. So while we acknowledge that we should not have participated in a non-paid pitch, we believe the penalty is too harsh because they've been suspended for 12 months, right? Mm. And it says ID believes the penalty could have a negative impact on efforts to racially transform the advertising industry. I'm not really sure how those two things are linked, but okay. So then it says we've taken a decision to appeal the penalty, and we will file a written submission to the ACA. Furthermore, ID will undertake an extensive internal review of its pitching process to ensure that this regrettable oversight does not occur again, said its chairman, Musidi Selek. So, guys, it's a crazy world out there. I mean, maybe I should post some of the stuff to you. You say now that, other agencies pitched as well, and. Do we think that the ACA has taken the right steps in this regard? And I mean, I'll tell you my opinion after this, but like, what do you make of that? What do you make of the fact that ID kind of felt the need to respond?
Well, I mean, firstly, has Island Davenport won any of it? Because then it would at least be worth it.
Yeah. So my understanding is that a consortium made up of Wonderman and Island Davenport pitched on this whole thing. And I don't know whether DDB is involved in that or not, but I think a consortium between Wonderman and ID came together and pitched on this thing. And I think the win is a kind of a consortium win.
I just feel sorry for DDB because they didn't win it and they get punished. That's terrible.
Yeah.
And they were the incumbent agency, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think other agencies also pitched. I think MNC pitched. I think Avatar pitched. I think.
Yeah. Look, we're getting the
I don't know all the details, but I think for me it should be maybe the ACA should have reined Telkom in better and all the agencies. But if one pitches, then the others pitch. I think that seems a bit like everyone should.
You see, what I did, I also read an article with the ACA statement in it. And kind of, apparently Telkom's whole thing is just, this feels like it's a matter between the ACA and its members. This has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And it's also that kind of question, makes you question like, oh man, so like the ACA, you know, how far does this power extend? You know what I mean? And do people, you know, abide by the rules of the ACA? And how much does this affect agencies? I mean, I don't know how much you guys know about it, but like, what do you guys know what a suspension actually entails when it comes to being to?
Well,
being
I think it stops them from getting briefs because it means that they, if as far as I know, if you are, you know, clients want to work with ACA accredited kind of agencies, they know the briefs go out, the credentials are presented, and when you present your credentials, if you're not a member of the ACA, you can't get business, and if you are a level one black owned agency. That is employing a lot of young black people, it then means that you aren't getting the business, which means you can't grow your company, which means you can't hire more black people. Maybe that's
It's quite an interesting one. It's quite an interesting one, that because also, I mean, someone told me also about production, right? So like, if you're not an ACA member, then
CPA.
What about that?
So the CPA is the Commercial Producer Association.
Right.
So there's also a whole bunch of regulatory rules. For example, production companies always pitch, as you know.
Right.
Often the pitches don't actually happen, the job doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Then the agencies and their clients are supposed to pay the production company.
Right.
A lot of production companies, however, don't charge the penalty. I mean, I know that we in the past haven't done it.
Yeah.
So because you don't want to sour the relationship,
because the agency has
the client, and everyone's just trying to keep everyone happy.
Yeah.
But often that never really happens. So for me, it's a little bit like the United Nations and George Bush.
Like, we'll be a part of it, but we're only going to apply these rules. You know
what I mean? It's like, don't go to war, you may not invade Iran.
Guys.
And you know, I mean, the parallel between production and what you're saying, I mean, first of all, to me, it sounds like the penalty's a little harsh.
Yeah.
But the
case is quite a big deal, though.
This is rife. The industry's rife with it. I mean, if you look at international jobs, we started doing a bit of a sort of filter of our own now. If we get briefed on a job internationally, the first question we ask is, how many other production houses are pitching on this? If it's more than five, forget about it. We're not doing it. Sometimes they throw this net out to like 15 different production houses, wasting everybody's time.
But that's exactly
using our resources. It's not cool. So
I mean, you do kind of agree then that if this is something we need to be curbing, like right now, right? We need to be curbing the fact that like you can't just like ask the whole industry to pitch on your piece
I
of
totally
business.
I totally agree,
and not paying for it.
Yeah, I think the ACA. I totally agree, and I think the ACA did the right thing.
Yeah.
By saying, you know, the Telkom must pay for the pitch of their briefing, however many it is.
So I think they
were doing the right thing, but I think that maybe more discussion should have gone forward before they actually did pitch then.
Yeah.
Right.
So then don't you think then
you can't not pitch on Telkom.
Yeah. Don't you think then that the punishment then kind of sounds like it fits the crime?
Because if the crime is
detrimental to our industry, then you know what I mean? Don't you think?
Akin is cross with me, he's walking in, he's cross with me.
Oh, Mr. Akin Omotoso is here, guys. What's going on?
I'm good, and you? Sorry I'm late, everyone. All my fault, I apologize.
Guys, that's crazy.
Sorry.
He's here, he went to Vessel Road, because he didn't know that he was in outside broadcast, but we're here now.
You know what it is that men are trash. Because they sent me, Liso sent me the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, but I know Clip Central.
Yeah.
I know.
He asked me to please send him the address. Yeah.
So I'm gonna for all the listeners.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. Because men are trash.
Yes. And I'm trash for going. But it's Clip Central. I've made my timing. I'm good.
Yeah.
Vessels Road here.
Yeah.
And then you like ticket pro door.
Yeah. Boom.
Oh.
Now what?
Stop shouting.
And then like stop shouting at me.
Yeah. I know where I'm supposed to be. I'll be there now.
Give me 1 second. I'll be there now.
How you guys?
That is fantastic. Yeah. So obviously cameras along the way from the Rivonia to Northgate. Look up
the silver strip.
Yeah.
I was going there. Sent forward all the traffic fines. I apologize.
No problem. Well, good to have you in the stool, man. How's it been? I mean, you're a busy man. I mean, you live on planes these days, don't you?
Yeah.
Right. I actually saw the other day you were in Nigeria getting picked up in a what? Talk to us about that. What was it? Tell us, Akin.
I was at the African Movie Academy Awards.
That's what's up. Yeah.
It's been running for 13 years.
Yeah.
Premier African, festival.
Yeah.
It's the one. Heavyweight judges, great competition. And we won 3 prizes, best sound design, best screenplay, and best director.
What do you want? What do you want? That's pretty dope, man.
I was very surprised. Especially the director. Those films, I mean, like there's a director called Alan Gumi.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant director. And his film won best top prize Festival this year. So he's in competition. I mean, Vaya has done well. We were also in Berlin.
Yeah.
And I know Alan very well. So I was like, when the nominee, I even texted him like, yo, man, congrats.
Yeah.
And even on the night, I'm like, you know, we got screenplay. I'm like, good, we got screenplay. Okay. We got sound design. And then they were like, no, you won best director. The competition was stiff. His film won best film. So,
yeah.
I mean, to win in this kind of year, it's just like, you know, Mira Nair was nominated Queen of Katwe.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
That's amazing.
So you're not.
Dude, that's dope,
you know,
shit. Man.
So yeah. So thank you.
Congratulations, guys. Team and the Headman, we continue to bring you the best of Africa, the best of everything. I keep telling you guys, we're at the forefront of all the information and all the dopeness. But yeah, man. I think you know, being a part of essentially what is. What most people in advertising would know is an advertising production house,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How much does bringing all that add to day-to-day running and how you approach pretty much every brief when we say to you, I mean, I need you to send me this washing powder now that you've just done this amazing stuff. How much of that do you bring to Spitfire?
No, well, first of all, how much Spitfire? Let's talk about Spitfire.
Let's
talk about these fine individuals here. It's a team effort, you know.
That's right.
Always wanted to be in commercials and tried.
Yeah.
Spitfire has just been home. I defended
right.
Liso, AK, the whole company, they're just so supportive in what they do. They're like top of their game.
That's right.
So I can't even take. Too much credit for anything other than it's a dope team, you know.
And
he's a humble man.
They just keep Lisa. I'll be like, but how is it gonna work? It's like, it's gonna work.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's, you know, she's a miracle worker. So to have her and AK as sort of and part of the team. I mean, it's Mark. It's Peter.
Yeah.
There's Ballet. There's Cherise.
Shout out to everybody.
Pebbles. There's Cleo.
Everybody in the stool.
So, man, I'm just blessed to be part of this company.
That's dope, man. That's really dope. And I mean, there's one question I want to ask you. I mean, especially because the NBA Africa thing is happening.
And I'm like, now,
if the brief came through now, Kim, right, we're making a movie about the NBA Africa experience. Are you jumping at it?
I'm jumping at it. Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll be like, who is the competition? Like, I want to know. If we don't get the job, if Spitfire doesn't get that job, I want to know who you gave that job. Who is more basketball than us?
Yes. Exactly.
So everyone's listening out there. Guys, make the phone call to Spitfire and have a conversation about making the NBA Africa movie. Come on now.
Come on now.
You're finally here, and we can start chatting about the thing. The big reason why you guys are all here.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys get into collaboration with Mnet.
Yeah.
Right? And in fact, I'm gonna let you guys tell us the story. But I do love the title. I just from jump just love the title, the idea of the greatest movie ever made.
And
that's cool.
Very embarrassing.
I don't know whose idea that is. I just love the sound of that. I love the balls that come with a title like that.
Oh right? Yeah.
So how does something like this come about? How do you guys end up in this place?
It's actually through Peter Heaney, one of our comedy directors.
Yeah.
So he comes from a long broadcast sort of history. His dad's right. Bobby Heaney, so I always call him broadcast royalty.
Right.
And they approached him and his dad actually and said, you know, we want someone to make this competition. We're gonna put out a shout out to actors, like idols for actors,
yeah.
for people around sub-Saharan Africa to enter and to act in a movie and, you know, in like a little short film. And who do you think can make this happen? We've got no money.
Yeah.
So
right.
Obviously,
I mean, we've never heard that before.
So obviously they're like, oh, Spitfire.
Oh, but that's
yeah. So anyway, Peter first phoned me about it, and I didn't take him very seriously. I was just like, yeah, whatever. And then when I sat down and looked at the meetings, I was kind of like, oh my gosh, this is really fun. And then we got to work directly with Mnet, and we got in a screenwriter, and we actually got to write the story ourselves. There was a shout out from a call to action from Akin and Peter and AK, calling for actors to act in the film on the sections they specialize in.
Yeah, to submit their home auditions, you know, shots on anything, a cell phone.
Yeah.
Or if you're an Mnet subscriber, send in your little video, and we'll put it in the mix, and we'll watch every single one.
But what was the, I don't know what the brief for those auditions were, because I watched a couple of them, and you know, I'll be honest, I mean, the standard was surprisingly not bad. It was surprisingly not shit, you know what I mean?
But, I mean, people watch movies. You know?
Yeah, but people watch movies.
And people reenact movies. You're basically asking people to do what they do normally.
Mostly Diary of a Mad Black Woman, though. They're mostly
there's
a lot of
Talibanic.
And Dark Knight.
And the Dark Knight.
I Talibanic. No, Talibanic. I've always had a thing with him. And I think I was talking to Akin about it. About why I don't understand why the dark skin guy is always the problem in Talibanic movies. But that's another show.
That's a midnight show.
Yeah. But no, like the level of the entries. I mean, how impressed or not were you with that?
They were very good. Look, there was surprisingly the female auditions were way better than the guys. I don't know why, but that was just No. I gotta be careful what I say.
I say that with
the greatest respect. No. But what I mean is, it was relative to the numbers.
Yeah.
So there were a lot more guys. We expected a lot more guys coming through, and we struggled. We had too many girls that were just too good.
Yeah.
It's a daily problem in AK's life. Seconds.
Oh, damn.
But again, I do know that there is another show that's later in the day that is about that kind of thing. You know, men who attract too many of these kinds of programs. But tune in to ClipCentral.com. Look through all the podcasts, guys. There's a podcast for you, pretty much for anything that you're looking for. But so then what happened? So you guys did all these auditions, and then you put them together.
We had to sit in a room.
Were the scenes pre-written, or did you take some of the scenes from? I mean, combining the final thing. Did you select the scenes already?
Nothing was pre-written. They said to us, this is the idea.
Yeah.
We want to do a call to entry. We want to get Mnet subscribers to send in their videos. We'll select 6 finalists.
Yeah.
And the 2 best winners, based on the experience of working with them as directors and a production house, would be selected, and they'd be taken to Hollywood for their... And they went to... Panavision, they met directors and actors and producers, and they went to Disneyland, I think, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
And so there was a big prize at the end of it.
Oh, okay.
And we had to sit in a room and watch absolutely hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of auditions. I thought it was great fun. I mean, I loved it. The sandwiches weren't great. The coffee was a bit shite. But
who can I talk to you about that, AK? Who can I ask to fix this?
Someone in that new DSTV building.
And they never worked for DSTV.
You know what I love about creative people? Like, the whole idea of the diplomacy of shit, right? Like, it goes out the window immediately. You know what I mean? Like most people would have come here and said, oh, look, it could have been better. No, the coffee was shit. The sandwiches were shit.
Look, the experience was good, and we even had an auditor in the room.
What?
To make sure that we watch every single clip, and I think that's great.
That's honest.
And I think the right people were selected.
Yeah.
It was so difficult in the end that we had to select 20.
Yeah.
We said, listen, I tell you what, let's have 20 finalists, and we'll do personal castings and auditions with them in the DSTV auditorium place.
That's insane.
And it was fantastic because we gave them all a very big fair chance, and it was a tough decision to get those six.
So tell me then what happens after that. So now you've chosen the guys. Okay, you got to choose the guys, and it's like cool. Where to now? Is that when you get to sit with the script right? What happens after that?
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of back and forth with the script to take the. Firstly, you got to take the movie scenes.
Yeah.
Weave them so that in themselves they make coherent sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there was a lot of back and forth on the script and deciding like, you know, what clips. Because I was saying this the other day, like, if you left it to us, we'll probably put a very obscure movie.
Yeah,
in there,
you know what I mean? Because it makes sense to us.
You know what I mean? Tchaikovsky nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, and the professional.
You know, exactly.
So you still wanted it to be popular and find a mix. So I think I really enjoyed that sort of back and forth to the script, Peter and AK and
everything. Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to get the story right.
But how long did that process take?
What was that?
It was
about a month. Yeah, we had an amazing writer, Stephen. Shout out to Stephen.
Shout out, Stephen. What's going on?
Stephen.
He's amazing, and he works fast. He's smart. He comes up with good solutions.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very tough. I had a list of 100 movies.
Yeah.
And I mean, you have to take
Star
into
Wars.
Account.
Yeah.
You have to take into account not only it's just my favorite movie scene. It's just your budget will not allow.
You know me. I wanted to do Love Jones then.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene from Love Jones. And Lisa's like, we'll get back to you.
Yeah. That one almost made it through.
Yeah.
The one I was most upset about was Star Wars because I had this, look, it's a parody of all these movies.
Yeah.
So I had this amazing thought. I thought, jeez, you know, I've got to do that famous scene from The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And with a local twist on it. Can you imagine Darth Vader and this little Afrikaner boy with his blonde hair? And or it doesn't even have to be. And the guy's standing there and he goes, Luke, no, Mungi Papa Yaku. Oh, no! Screaming, no way! I mean, can you imagine?
There's
a reason why that's not in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. That's insane. So but now, here's the part I'm interested in, right? So now these people, like if I'm directing myself and I'm shooting this thing myself at home, right? Nobody's telling me don't look into camera. Nobody's telling me the lights on, be aware of this. Now, how difficult or easy was it to get these people in and then direct them, right? Because I think some of them were amateurs, right? Some might be coming from...
Most of them were, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So now it's like, cool, now I'm going to put you in the scene. You might take direction. I mean, because I know, shooting ads is the, one of the biggest difficulties about shooting ads is people looking into the camera. Because you want to. Your instinct is to, hi, mom. So how easy was it?
We had a rehearsal process.
Okay, cool.
So there were rehearsals, and I think, I mean, AK can speak for his side. But
yeah.
I mean, everybody had sort of their scenes, and you had an opportunity to at least give it a test.
Yeah.
And I think the two lead actors as well were professional. So
who were the two lead actors?
So we had
Garth Breitenbach.
Yeah.
And Neo.
It's dope.
Yeah.
So they were a bit of an anchor.
Yeah.
And then because again the scenes, people have watched the films.
It's
this very strange thing of we know what the film is.
Right.
We know what we're trying to achieve, but we still have to find the truth within ourselves,
to get
it right. So we had a rehearsal process. So I didn't have.
Like,
I'm just saying, like it wasn't like the first time they were on set.
I see what you mean.
I also had the AK might talk about the action stuff. So there was that kind of rehearsal with the Matrix. So I don't know how was that.
Yeah, what was that like?
No, there was no rehearsal there really. That was just basically, we know where we're gonna shoot it. We know we don't have enough time. We've got the actors, we've got the place, we've got the guns, the squibs. We only got a limited amount of squibs that we can shoot off. We know what the scene looks like, and so we did it according to a very careful storyboard.
I actually
took every scene and edited it down to 2 minutes so we could make it within the 27 minute time frame. With the narrative taking into account that was about, I don't know, 12 minutes or so. So that fitted in really nicely. And then we printed out those frames. But like Ken said, the directors kind of did the job for us.
Yeah.
They storyboarded it. They That's blocked insane. It out, and we just had to make it work wherever we were.
That's
so
insane.
The Matrix was a bit tough,
yeah,
because it's, you know, it's an expensive movie.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
I mean, I looked at the one scene that
was
we
did. Was there leather, guys? Did you guys bring by lots of leather?
Yeah.
I mean, that was my favorite part. Bring out leather.
Bring out the gimp.
We need guts.
And funny enough, Neo actually was the character of Neo.
Yeah, but I feel like that role, he gets kind of thin, of course. I mean.
What else are you going to do?
Exactly. But now here's what I want to know about what this has meant for you guys, you know, like what this experience has done for you guys. Has your approach to kind of content been positively influenced by this experience? And like, have you guys now given more thought to how much more content as opposed to, like, say, commercials that you guys are going to be doing in
the
platform?
Yeah. I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding or misconception is that Spitfire started as a content company.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we started, I realized that it was an oversubscribed industry, it was too competitive.
Yeah.
And opening a commercial production house is a stupid business idea.
Yeah.
So we immediately started calling ourselves a content studio.
Right.
People don't know what content is, like a newspaper is content.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And so most of the work that we've done, and we've won 4 gold lorries over the last four 3 years, all for Saturday Night, all for content.
Boom! Boom!
So, you know, we're starting to call ourselves the masters of content, and
yeah.
It's to separate us from the production companies that have been doing
yeah.
TV commercials for so long, that we really know how to run. With Mercedes, we've done it, we're doing one with BMW now.
Yeah.
So we really do that. But what was so great about this was the fun of, I started going in and going like, okay, do you like the wardrobe and do you like this? And Peter
right.
said, Liesl, you don't have to do that. They don't care.
Ah,
I was like, what,
right.
what do you mean? But I mean, what? And he goes like, they don't care. Like,
yeah.
you, they trust you. Just go and make the movie.
Sure.
And I was like, yes, that's
that is,
amazing.
That is a, you bring up a very, very important conversation. The conversation about trust in creation.
Right. Yeah.
And what that had, I think, has done to the final product when it comes to commercials,
mm-hmm.
right? Do you think, and I mean, I'll open this up to the directors as well, but most importantly, do you think that the sense of trust has changed the type of product that we hand over to our clients?
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you think we can get it back? Do you think that there's a way for us to get it back?
I mean, the fact that there is a client at the end of the line
yeah.
That has to be pleased, and it has to be, you know, everything has to go through, understandably, has to go through the agency who came up with the idea.
That's right.
Fought hard for that idea.
Yeah.
Is a process.
Yeah.
With this, the client was, you know, he was just... They were very understanding. They knew that we had budget and time constraints, and
yeah.
they did not interfere. They just went,
absolutely.
We trust you. We like the script. We like what you've shown us. Your
yeah.
presentation's kiff. Go ahead. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Basically.
And I think from a branded content point of view, that made it really successful. Because
absolutely.
We basically were
we economized
trying
on
to
time.
Make people... excited about movies again
yeah,
by
yeah,
making
oh, yeah.
a movie about movies
that's
being
cool.
shown on movies. So it's like a really effective branded concept. It's not like, ah, there's some dental
yeah.
in the background.
Do you think that it was made easier by the fact that your client was an entertainment brand? You know
well,
what I mean? Like,
well,
so
yeah.
like insurance companies, but guys might be like, but I'm still an insurance guy.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, but I think it's just it's the mentality of, look, They know to a certain extent that they know your work.
Yeah.
So there's like, okay, we know their work.
Yeah.
These are the people. Two, we are. They know the films.
Yeah.
It's been a process. So at some point they just go, well, you know, you can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like there's
yeah,
a
yeah.
level of. It's the same thing working with the broadcasters. Like we've picked you for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And now, if you deliver this thing and it's not good,
then we can have another conversation.
Then we have another conversation.
Exactly.
But the initial conversation is, once we picked you,
yeah,
we trust you. But I think, as you know, in the ad space, I think it's just different because there's a lot of money at stake.
Yeah.
You know, like it's a whole, it's a different process.
I hear you.
And I guess the trust thing is about, do I trust you to deliver so that I can move units.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that
yes,
I can
yes,
sell
yes.
my milk.
Yeah, but I mean,
do you know what I mean? And look, for me, after years of abuse from broadcasting,
yeah,
it's very cool to have that kind of
yeah.
because you know what I mean. Like
yeah.
at least they know we need to shoot it like this
yeah.
because
we need to make this happen. Yeah.
Otherwise, you see the set we're having here, we might not have it.
Yeah,
so, I think I have a very empathetic point of view.
Yeah.
But in this vein, what is nice about what we did with Mnet is that yeah, you are in a different space.
Yeah.
You are in a trusting space, and I know we went to great lengths to make sure we sort of sometimes shot matched the thing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they weren't necessarily like that. They were like, even if you give the essence
that's right.
of the movie. It's cool.
See, I'm a big protector of that space, and sometimes I feel like to my own detriment, because I feel like it's exactly what you just said, right? So there's a place at which you go, guys, I'm going to hand this thing over to you because I trust that you are the expert at this, right? And funny, I was having a chat with Jimmy Smith from Amusement Park in New York, and he was saying it's happening all over the world. It feels like everyone is encroaching on creative, right? And sometimes, because, you know, we also bandy words about, like, a good idea can come from anywhere. That's true. It really is true. But expertise is the reason why you end up with either something nice or something shit on TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm a big protector of the idea of, guys, fine, you asked me to do this, let me do it, and then at the end of it, if it's shit, then we can have another discussion, right? But I love how it feels like you guys were given the sense of, guys, please bring out that all that expertise that you keep talking about, and we want to see it. And it looks the way it does. And what has the general response been to it?
People love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, they love it.
They love it, yeah. Everyone we've shown says it feels like it's over too soon. And
yeah.
The clients love
this. How long is it? 27 minutes?
28, yeah.
And you know what, for me, I think what, I tell you what, from a personal point of view, what was good was, like, and I was discussing it with Peter as well, is that it felt like going back to film school.
Ah,
because in a way, I mean, in a way, we've all seen the scene from, you know, Romeo and Juliet, and they're looking, but you know, you haven't really analyzed
why
it works.
Yeah.
Why does it work, actually? And for me, doing those scenes.
I saw Neil did that scene as well. Right?
Yeah,
I saw that. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, when it's broken down, like AK said, you know, we had the film and you had the thing.
Yeah.
You went, this is why it works. It works cinematically. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right. Like
it was for me, it was an opportunity to revisit those elements of cinema where I felt I was still learning. I was relearning stuff from Baz Luhrmann in a way that was also a privilege. And then to understand, like, this is why these guys, for the most part, their cinema resonates worldwide.
Yeah.
And it's simple but hard cinematic choices of where you place the camera. And, you know, like, for instance, sorry, I'm
hard. Yeah, get in there.
But, you know, like, the end of The Usual Suspect, which is our thing.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone has seen The Usual Suspect, there's a particular shot that happens on the guy's leg.
Foot. Right.
And we were shooting it, and you know, the angle wasn't right. So I said, just bring the film again, let's look. And then they said, oh, that's the angle. And we put the camera there, and he did the thing. It's like, there's a reason why that angle works like that.
You know what
I
mean?
So I was just very, it was a privilege revisit filmmaking again.
That's so dope. I never actually thought about it like that, because what you get to do is you actually get to break down the DNA of why things work.
Yes, exactly.
That is so
dope. And sometimes it's surprising. It's like, wow, this tiny shift in this angle, this tiny shift in the eye, and it suddenly works, like I can say. You know, and from the action point of view, with the Matrix scene, which was quite tricky, just because of the time constraint, not for any other reason. I'd out of interest looked at how they did the scene. Remember when they're in the walls?
Yes,
and the SWAT team come in and they go, they're in the walls.
Yeah.
They're in the walls. And they start firing. So that scene, I looked at how they did it for real. Now, and this is what's so interesting is we're shooting in an old dilapidated, dangerous, like, theater.
Yeah.
With, like, rusty spikes and planks and stuff and dark corners all over the place.
Yeah.
And we're shooting on a piece of wall that is 3.5 meters high, a makeshift thing that we just made work, you know?
Yeah.
And we got the actors going up and down there, we're dropping, like, bits of grit down on their heads. And so when I watched how they did the real thing, I mean, that thing was like 6 stories.
Just
with a techno crane and cables. And I mean, the setup that they had for that scene.
Yeah.
And so when you watch ours is cool. But I mean, there is a difference. When you watch the real thing, it's, you understand why. Because it's not easy to do this kind of stuff.
Ha, guys, I really have to go and see this stuff. You know what I always say about this hour? It always amazes me how quickly it goes by. Because we're almost out of time. We're really almost out of time. But thanks so much for coming to hang out, guys.
Thank you.
Where can people see it? Where can people go and check out the movie?
It's on the, I'll tell you now. It's on the Mnet Movies YouTube channel.
Yeah.
HTTPS, obviously.
Yeah.
www.youtube.com/watch, and then there's a whole story. But if you just search the greatest movie ever made on the Mnet Movies YouTube channel, you'll find it.
Cool, dope, guys. Yeah. Get out there, go check out the best movie ever made. My time's up. My whole hour's up. And remember, like I always say, guys, take care of yourselves. Take care of those briefs and take care of each other, because it's rough out there. Take care of creativity. And like I say every week, once again, if the show's on a Friday, we'll be having a tequila. Boom! It's your boy, G-Man, the Ad Man.
Thanks, G.
you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the Ad-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com. Shot fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
G-Man, the
Ad-Man. Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.